Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to join me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled Perfect in Heart. And we were looking at the life of the good King Asa, who was king of Judah, learning lessons from his life. We see that verse 2, Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And it said in verse 17 of chapter 15, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And what that means in context, it means that he never served or worshiped another god. Now, obviously, when he relied on his own schemes, if you will, his own way of proceeding, instead of depending upon the Lord for deliverance from Baasha, who was king of Israel and was surrounding them, instead of seeking God, he relied on a political alliance with the king of Syria. And the prophet came to him and reproved him, because you've acted foolishly, you're going to have wars for the remainder of your reign. And he was furious. Why? Because not only was he opposed, he had assumed that his way was correct, and he did not like that kind of opposition. But of course, the word of the Lord was true, and there were, in fact, it says in his final days, about 5 years after, his life closed tragically. He had a grievous disease in his feet, unnamed, but that he died from it. And the Word of God tells us that, "Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." So we are all, our human nature is the same. It doesn't matter if we're reading the life of a character thousands of years ago in the Bible. Elijah was a man of like passions as we. Human nature has not changed. And there is always a danger that we can rely on our own strength, our own strategy, our own perspective and viewpoint, especially when we've been blessed of the Lord. I mean, look at Asa. He had had a tremendous victory when a million-man army came against him, the Ethiopians, and against all odds, they prevailed. God gave them victory, and he was able to build up his cities. There was revival. He removed his mother from being queen because of idolatry in her life. He was a righteous king, and he had done good, and God had prospered him. But then there was another trial. And instead of seeking God, he instead used his own strategies. He thought a political alliance with the king of Syria would be advantageous, and that did not please God. God loves to be glorified. And beloved, just as that's an Old Testament passage, the eyes of the Lord roved to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to prove himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him, God hasn't changed. He's still looking for people. He's looking for me. He's looking for you. He's looking for those who will say, "Yes, Lord, I want to trust you. And regardless of what it looks like, I believe you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way." And we have to understand that every one of us, if we cannot think that we have ever come to a place that we think we have arrived. This is a very sobering passage I want to share with you. In Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, verses 12 through 13, the prophet Ezekiel was commanded to speak what the Lord is telling him. And here the Lord says, "Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of my people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live," listen to this, "if he trusts in his own righteousness and commit iniquity." You see, there's a qualifying phrase to not just committing sin, but he trusts in his own righteousness. He trusts in his own way. "All his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it." And then, of course, there's the word of the Lord found in the book of Jeremiah, verse 5. That's chapter 17, verse 5. "Cursed is the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to prove himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him." God hasn't changed. He wants men and women who are going to trust in him. And so, what are some of the reflections, if you will, that we can make upon the life of Asa? Well, it's a picture of a Christian who has known the power of God, has allowed the cares and successes of this life to destroy the vibrant testimony of one who at one time fully trusted God. Deuteronomy 6 and 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." And remember, New Testament, what Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, "I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, intolerance of evil." They had borne, and for the Lord's name had labored and not fainted. I mean, he recognizes all their good qualities, all their good deeds, but he says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." In Asa, we see a sad reflection of many churches today. They once knew the power of God. I'm speaking now of denominations who were birthed in the power of God, but the glory has departed, just like it did in the lifespan of Eli. The ark was taken captive by the Philistines. His daughter-in-law died in childbirth, saying, and name that son Ichabod, for the glory has departed. Now we have man-made structures and programs and neat and tidy services. Why are ministers afraid of the gifts of the Spirit? Paul was very clear on church discipline and the administration of the gifts in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Beloved, the Lord desires to show himself strong. In Daniel 11:32, I know I'm sharing a lot of scripture, but it's sharing what God's thoughts and heart is. "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." God's got an army. He makes references in Joel 2:11. "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word." And then in Isaiah, that marvelous vision that Isaiah had in the 6th chapter, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." What was his response? "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And what happened? A live coal was taken off the altar of God, the very fire of God, the very fire of the Holy Ghost. And he was told, "Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged." Just as for us, beloved New Testament believers. You know, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 40, this is Jesus speaking to Mary and Martha, "If thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God." Shall we begin in the Spirit, beloved, and end in the flesh? Asa's unbelief caused him to desecrate the things of God. His bribe to Ben-Hadad came not out of his personal resources, it came out of the Lord's treasury. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 9, The word of the Lord declares, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And just as God always had a temple, if you will, the greatest one was built by Solomon. Lesser temples were built after the devastation. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar totally destroyed it, and the Israelites were carried off to Babylon for 70 years in accordance with the word of the Lord through Jeremiah. But, beloved, this latter house, now we don't have a physical temple at this point. A physical temple will be built in Jerusalem, but God dwells in a temple that's not made with hands. He's talking about his body, the body of Christ, his church, whom he died for. He is the head, and we are the body. And throughout Scripture, we're encouraged to realize that God is doing this work. Isaiah 4 and 10 says, behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And that wonderful passage in Isaiah 40:26, where the prophet says, lift up your eye on high, speaking of the host of heaven, and he calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. He's talking about the Creator, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. And Jeremiah 35:34 says, their Redeemer is strong, the Lord of hosts is his name. Beloved, God is on his throne. He's not abdicated his power, his ability to rule the nations of the earth or our lives. In Revelation 18:8, this is regarding the fall of Babylon, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her. We have and serve a mighty God. He is able to move in our behalf, no matter what you may be facing today, no matter how the enemy has attacked. God is able to give you victory if you will trust and depend on him, even as Asa did in the early years of his reign as king. He depended on the Lord against all odds, and God gave him victory. So may God do the same for us in our lives as we trust in him wholeheartedly. Oh, beloved, I pray you will do that. And if there are specifics you need the support of agreeing prayer, I invite you to write, share those needs. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you, and I pray for you every day. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.